Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm this holiday season. If you find yourself needing legal representation, you're going to want the best possible. By entrusting Marcos and his team, you are doing just that. Personal injury, criminal defense, and DUI defense. GarzaLaw.com. You can call them 24/7, 365 at 865-540-8300. Don't say guilty, say Garza. Once again, GarzaLaw.com. 865-540-8300. You can call them anytime. You can chat with them on their website, get some more information, and get in touch with the people that will do their best job to get you the best result possible in your case. All right, let's get to the episode.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch coming at you. It's the end of the month. It's Tuesday. It's November 30th. Seth Hughes joins me down in Alabama. What's up, Seth Hughes?
Not much, John. Happy to be here. Good to hear your voice as usual.
Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, my friend. We took a week off to let you be thankful with your friends and family.
Likewise, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving as well.
It was fine. Nothing to report. Well, anything you want to discuss regarding Tennessee Vanderbilt?
No.
Anything you want to discuss regarding Tennessee Villanova?
I thought the, so I guess what I found most disgusting wasn't that we couldn't hit water if we fell out of a boat. I thought our effort was just pretty poor overall. Villanova got to the loose balls. Villanova dove on the floor. Villanova got the offensive rebounds. Obviously, there are going to be games where we don't shoot it well. Josiah was maddening. I guess the hope is that he wasn't shooting well because he has like a broken wrist.
I don't know if that's the hope, because if he has a broken wrist, I don't know if he'll play the rest of the year. Because that's the same wrist that was hurt last year, right?
Rob Lewis said the hope is that he's back by the beginning of conference play.
Okay. I'm not a doctor.
So, I can live with us not shooting it very well. I mean, that's going to happen. Like, it is what it is. I just thought we didn't, like, our... Like, I thought Villanova played a lot harder, which might sound like a cheesy boomer take or whatever, but, like, I just got tired of seeing them, like, get all the loose balls and get the rebounds. I turned that game off with 4 minutes left to go in the first half. I just was totally disgusted by it.
My frustration, I mean, it's, I guess, was kind of tied to it. It's weird to talk about 2 weeks later, but my frustration tied to it was with Rick Barnes' rotation, with him insisting on playing two big men, and the fact that we played two big men against Villanova, of all teams, who... You know, has played four guards basically since, what, the mid-2000s? Since Kyle Lowry and Alan Ray were out there running around. But we were playing two bigs, and they were still getting looks at the rim and getting almost every rebound.
Yeah.
So that was very frustrating. It was like, we went big, and we still, like, didn't have any benefits from going big. Our only benefit was for Josiah Jordan-James to be our three-point shooter as he's surrounded with no space because there's two big men playing, and he can't, as you said, hit water if you fell out of a boat. So
I barely remember the game. I do remember thinking that, like, Josiah had good looks from three. Like, there were several threes that he had that were pretty good looks, like Vescovi too. They just couldn't hit anything.
I mean, Vescovi is like 3 feet behind the line, which sometimes is a good shot for him, but obviously when you miss him, it looks worse. It looks like you're settling. Josiah had a couple, but there are also a couple that I'm like, why are you shooting that, Josiah? You haven't hit a shot yet. You don't. That's a heat check shot, and you're not on fire. I can go ahead and tell you, buddy, the heat check is not going to work. You're not on fire.
I do remember now the most maddening play that Josiah had in that game was the fast break, where he like pulled up from like 15 feet away for some reason. I don't even remember anything about the rotation. I'm sure it was awful because it's Rick Barnes and it's a member.
Euros Plazdzic was playing against Villanova while being on the floor also with either Kumwa or Fulkerson. I don't remember which one, but he was out there with another big, and that's just inexcusable.
Other than that, Kumwa, he can't disappear.
No, he wasn't good that game either. He's been good through other games. He wasn't good against Villanova. Nobody really was. The most maddening play for me, that Josiah one's pretty maddening. All the offensive rebounds that felt like we gave up or loose balls we didn't get to were maddening, but I was still fuming after the very first play when Kenny Chandler drove to the rim, had an N1. The ref called an N1, and then we just sat there and looked at each other, and they're like, oh, wait, never mind, it's a charge.
So that changed the entire complexion of the game.
Yeah, especially when you have Rick Barnes, who still, even in meaningless November basketball, still is terrified of his best player fouling out, and two fouls means you have to sit out the entire... I'm going to foul you out myself in the first half versus, hey, I don't know, maybe let's use this as an opportunity to see if this guy can play with two fouls, because guess what? It's November, and maybe he can, because guess what? He's a point guard, not a big man that's going to be down there trying to block shots, and guess what? He ended up only with three fouls. Wow, what a concept. Let's see if maybe he can not pick up cheap fouls while in foul trouble. Let's see if we can do that while it's still, again, November and the games don't really matter. So that was very frustrating. It took the wind out of my sail a little bit when it came to Tennessee basketball. Not as them as a good team. I think they're still a good team. I still think they'll be top 15. You saw what they did the next day against North Carolina, but it took the wind out of my sail when it came to them being an elite team, because I think you saw the difference between a good team, Tennessee, and an elite team, Villanova. Now, can we close that gap? Can we tighten up a rotation? Can guys play better? Can Chandler not get into foul trouble? Yes, but as of right now, like, this team seems like more of a work in progress than I'd hoped, especially when you see, which I don't know if anybody's seen, you know, or saw, I guess it was, what, Black Friday, the follow-up game against Tennessee Tech. Didn't play very well against that one, against them in that one either.
Yeah, I didn't watch.
No, I didn't really either. It was brutal. Just like from listening to the radio, I was out shopping with my mother, but sounded terrible on the radio. The game chat on the Discord didn't seem very happy. And it's just one of those typical, like...
It's the day after Thanksgiving with no students. Like, it is what it is.
We shouldn't play those games, honestly. Like, I don't think those games are even worth playing. Because you come out, you're lethargic, the crowd's dead, and, like, more chances than not, you might, like, lose a game there. Like, that would be a catastrophic loss if you lose to Tennessee Tech. Now, granted, Tennessee would have opportunities to, you know, improve and fix, like, on a resume and all that, but, like, that would be a big difference when it came to seeding time. And, again, you get nothing for beating Tennessee Tech. So maybe let's get rid of those games, because wasn't that around the same time, or was it Christmas whenever we had Konzo and lost to, I don't even remember who it was. Who did we lose to of Konzo in Jarnell Stokes' first game? Do you remember that?
No.
It was some terrible, terrible loss, and it kept you out of the tournament that year. It was Konzo's second year, and I want to say it was Christmas. I want to say it was Christmas because he was only a second semester player, so like the students were gone. You played some terrible, terrible team, and they beat you. Maybe somebody in the Discord will look it up, because I'm laid back on my couch and don't want to get to my laptop and Google search it. But point remains, those games are pointless, in my opinion. So the Tennessee basketball team, you know, I still think they have talent, but they're going to be more of a work in progress.
Well, we're going to see real quick. I mean, you know, with, like, I don't think Colorado's very good. Texas Tech has played absolutely nobody.
I thought Colorado was hanging around the top 50 in the net rating, or I guess in the KenPom.
I saw they had a terrible loss.
Okay, maybe I checked before.
But it's still a road game. You know, Texas Tech hasn't played anybody. I don't think they've played an FBS team that has a win yet, was the stat that I saw. They're like, oh, and they're the teams they had played outside of, like, FBS teams they had played were like 0-22 combined. I mean, they basically wasted their entire November. So, you know, but it's another neutral site game. And then, you know, some Arizona looks really good. Arizona looks really, really good. I watched them play somebody during Thanksgiving. During last week, I watched them play somebody, and they looked really good, and then they promptly got ranked, like, 17th. Like, I don't think that North Carolina is very good.
No, they're not.
But, like, I saw this being argued about in the Discord. which I didn't get to watch that game. I listened to it. But my thoughts are kind of like, look, if North Carolina is nothing but like a decent team, I mean, I think they were picked like third in the ACC. Let's say they finished like fifth or whatever in the ACC. And they're like a bubble team. Well, then Tennessee went out the day after getting embarrassed. Tennessee went out and embarrassed North Carolina easily, like easily. Tennessee like completely just dispatched with them. And North Carolina shot like 17 more free throws than Tennessee. So like Tennessee beat a like an average team handily on a neutral site. Like that's at least what we wanted to see.
Just for the record, it was 2012. We lost to Austin Peay. Or 2011, yeah, 2011, 2012, we lost to Austin Peay, 74-70 on December 10th.
You know, it's better than Pearl going to Charlotte to play Charlotte when we lost that game. That was really stupid. Yeah. So, you know, we did exactly to North Carolina what we were supposed to do.
Sure, and like I think they're going to be, you know, hopefully they stay in the top 50, so that stays a
quad one win.
Maybe they'll figure it out. They don't seem very good, but who knows? That was, you know, Hubert's first, or Herbert, is it Herbert or Hubert?
Yeah. It's Hubert.
Maybe, you know, he'll have it figured out. That was, you know, one of his first games as a coach. So, all in all, that's fine. We'll see. They play, what, Presbyterian tonight. Shout out to Stats by Will. Go read his game previews on statsbywill.com. And then, you know, we'll learn more about the Tennessee basketball team in the next couple weeks. Let's move to football. Really, the...
They play tonight. They do play tonight. I was thinking it's tomorrow night.
I think it's tonight, ain't it?
It is, yeah.
And you know, let's move to football, where we got, you know, a pretty crazy coaching carousel. Lincoln Riley to USC, Brian Kelly to LSU. We don't know exactly who's going to Oklahoma. Maybe Brent Venables, maybe someone else. Seth Hughes, what are your thoughts? Give me your take.
It's been like an amazing, what is today? Tuesday? It's been an amazing. It was an amazing 3 days for college football. The games Saturday were, like, incredible.
Ohio State, Michigan felt gigantic. You actually got a good game, or at least, a statement by Michigan. It wasn't your typical Ohio State blowout. It wasn't a game that didn't live up to the hype. It was cool. It had snow. The Iron Bowl was, I don't know how good the game was played, but it went into overtime. You got some drama.
It was boring until the last little bit, but I mean, it was a 4-overtime Iron Bowl game.
Sure. So I mean, you had two of your biggest programs be in big games, and both games lived up to the hype in Ohio State and Alabama.
And Bedlam was awesome.
Oh yeah, that was good too. Yep, I forgot about that one.
And the BYU USC game at night, the nightcap was pretty fun.
I didn't watch any of that one.
And then obviously the carnage of Sunday and yesterday. So an amazing 3 days for college football. I think that Lincoln Riley subscribes to our thinking that Oklahoma moving to the SEC is stupid. It's dumb.
So do you think he stays at Oklahoma if Oklahoma wasn't moving to the SEC?
Yeah.
I still think he goes to USC, which, by the way, our last podcast, we argued about this. You said USC isn't a top job anymore. Lincoln Riley said otherwise, my friend. Mike Bone, who maybe we should have hired when we were trying to hire an AD because he seems pretty good, said, au contraire, we are the Mecca of college football.
Well, all I said was I didn't have it with LSU, Ohio State, Florida, Georgia.
Lincoln Riley sure did. Florida.
Well, that's all that matters.
Florida hired who? Billy Napier.
Well, okay, hold on. Just because like 10 people turned down LSU doesn't mean you don't think it's still, you don't, does that mean you don't think it's the best job anymore?
I mean, I think USC is on that level, though.
Okay, well, that's fine. I had it in the second tier. It's not like I said it was dog shit.
You said, I don't know if they can get it back. I think it's too far gone.
I don't know that they can.
They just did. They got Lincoln Riley.
It remains to be seen. He hadn't coached a game there
but
yet.
But the prestige is still there, my friend. They went and plucked a...
Oh, it's still, yeah, it's a prestigious job,
They
yeah.
went and plucked a top 10 coach at a top 10 program, and they flopped it out on the table, and it's probably the biggest coaching move we've ever seen. I mean, at least since, you know, the 70s or whatever. I mean, like, I don't have the context there, but...
I don't think it's bigger than Brian Kelly, at least. Brian Kelly's the winningest all-time coach at Notre Dame.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that take was, you know, before Brian Kelly just left, so...
Going to LSU,
sure,
like...
Sure. I had that take prepared, you know, before that happened, so...
I mean, I think it's massive, like, you know...
Those are probably two of the biggest moves, though. I mean, like, when you consider... I mean, both those guys are probably, what, top six coaches? Pretty firmly, you feel that way? Top seven?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and both of them left good-ass jobs to go somewhere else?
Like, so this was the first time an Oklahoma head coach had left to go be a head coach of somewhere else since 1972. That guy that left in 1972 left to go coach the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the first time since, I think, 47, yeah, where Oklahoma has lost a coach to another college.
And the guy they hired in 47 was the guy they hired, the guy that left in 72. So they don't hire many coaches. I mean, the 90s, yeah, they went through three until they hired Bob Stoops. But, you know, this is not a place where people leave. But I do think that, like, it had to do with going to the SEC. I think people have said as much about that, like, that he thought.
Then why not go coach NFL, bro? I mean, because I would imagine if you don't want to go to the SEC, it's because you don't want to have to recruit against the big boys. Like, why not just go to the NFL? He has chances, I would imagine, over the last couple of years.
I would think so. I would assume. I don't really know.
It seems.
I felt like the Cowboys would hire him, but then they didn't.
Like, it seems hard to me that he is this Oklahoma lifer if he leaves the first college that really comes calling, which, you know. In January, there were rumors that he might have been interested in Tennessee, which, you know, I don't know if that's, I don't know if that's accurate. It doesn't seem accurate, obviously, because he doesn't want to go to the SEC. But maybe it just came down to I'd rather live in L.A. than in Baton Rouge. And maybe he just wanted out of Oklahoma because, you know, that came out, a month and a half ago, basically, that LSU was making a strong push for him. It seemed like he just wanted out of Oklahoma, which maybe it's just
he was definitely the name after Jimbo came out with his strong denials.
Right. So maybe,
which, like, I would have thought at this point that, like, I mean, I don't know, but if I'm A&M, aren't you just kind of like, look, if you want him that bad, you can have Jimbo?
I mean, maybe, but maybe not. Like, hell, like, I guess it depends, because I want to know how Florida feels. Like, how do you feel if you're Florida? Was Billy Napier?
They didn't even try.
That's what I'm saying. Because, like, I mean, typically this isn't how it happens. You know what I mean? Like, typically big time coaches don't leave, but do they not even call anybody? Do they not, like, do any due diligence with any agents? Do they not reach out? Because you can think Billy Napier's good, but he ain't Brian Kelly. He ain't Lincoln Riley.
No. No. I mean, I think that, like, the current situation matters. You know, I think that the current situation matters. I mean, like, I don't think that, like, if Oklahoma wasn't moving to the SEC, I don't think Lincoln Riley would have left. Like, you know, and then, like, you have, like, the current situation of Florida. It's like, well, they don't have nearly the roster that LSU has, and
I don't know how much the worse the roster is. I mean, like, LSU's.
I think it's significant.
I know LSU recruits very well, but, like, Florida's still been hanging in the top 12 or so.
Yeah.
And you combine, I mean, I know Georgia's there, but, like, the rest of the SEC West is tougher than the SEC East.
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't even think Florida tried. It doesn't seem like they did. I mean, we heard no names surrounding that job except Billy Napier.
Which maybe they'll be happy. Maybe he'll be a stud. I don't know. But if I'm them, I'm like, do we not even call anybody?
He looks like such a red. I like Billy Napier, by the way. I would have been very, very happy with Tennessee hiring him. He won 11 games, like, per year at Louisiana Lafayette. I mean, that doesn't necessarily translate, but I do like him. I mean, Neil Brown also won like 10 games a year at Troy, and he sucks at West Virginia.
Yeah,
but,
like, I mean, it might work, it might not. I know that's a cop-out, but that's essentially what happens with Brian
Kelly. That's for every hire.
Right.
That's for every hire. Like, people, you never know. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Well, God damn, it has to feel good to make the splash, though, if you're LSU or if you're USC. Now, maybe LSU's not happy with Brian Kelly just because he's not very likable, but imagine being a USC fan right now. You'd be pumped.
Yeah, you have to be thrilled.
You whip the dick out, just like we've been begging Tennessee to do. Like, USC actually did it, and then Mike Bone with an all-time statement of just like, you know, I didn't know that we were going to shake up the history of college football with a hire, but that's exactly what we did.
That LSU athletic director, like, he has to feel like he has the biggest dong in the world.
He goes big game.
I mean, it doesn't matter the sport. It doesn't matter the sport.
He gave Kim Mulkey $3 million.
He went and he got Jimbo to A&M. He got the Arizona baseball coach to LSU. He got Kim Mulkey to LSU. And then he goes out and he gets Notre Dame's all-time winningest coach while he's in the middle of the playoff picture. Like Notre Dame can make the playoff, and Brian Kelly said, oh, well, whatever, guys, I'm out.
Like, that's what I want to know. Like, would Lincoln Riley have done the same thing? Had they beaten Oklahoma State and were getting ready to play a Big 12 championship and were still having some chance to be in the playoff, like, would he still have left on Sunday? Because,
who can know?
Because recruiting signing day is the 15th, Seth. That's 2 weeks away. And apparently Notre Dame said they're going to ride it out, according to Dennis Dodd, just going to ride it out and wait to see what happens with Fickell because they want him. And, like, they'll wait to see how his season goes. And that seems disastrous, again, because, you know, signing day is the 15th of December, 2 weeks away.
So LSU is going to hire the Notre Dame defensive coordinator to come to LSU with them. Notre Dame's going to hire Luke Fickell because that's one of the three jobs he'll take. And then Cincinnati is going to hire the LSU defensive coordinator back to be head coach, would be my guess, because that's where he came from. He was at Cincinnati before this year when he went to Notre Dame.
Yeah, it seems like they can just go ahead and skip all this and like hit Sim on this and not waste Marcus Johnson's time making him go to – or Marcus Freeman, excuse me, making him go to LSU. Just go ahead and send him to Cincinnati.
Like, to me –
can Cincinnati
like,
pay him more than LSU can, though?
No, of course not. But it's the opportunity to – like, it's a Power 5 job now that has a – loaded roster comparatively, you know, for the situation. I mean,
won't be loaded though in 2 years and they're in the Big 12 or whenever it is.
No. Like, I thought, like, the Brian Kelly to LSU thing made sense to me. Like, I know people, like, from his end, I understood it perfectly. Like, he wasn't going to win a national title there. Like, it's too hard to recruit to get the guys that Alabama and Clemson and LSU can get.
It's not confirmed just because they're private, but like the reporter was somewhere around $5.5-6 million is what he was making. So he got a big raise, but also he did kind of like what we wondered whether or not Mark Stoops would do, which is like, I'm happy where I'm at. I can be a legend. I'm a king, whatever. Or do I want to try to win a national championship? And I think we've seen enough with Brian Kelly at Notre Dame that he's not going to win a national championship. He lost one game this year, and there's absolutely zero chance that they are getting in the playoff this weekend, really. I mean, realistically. I mean, sure, you could maybe put them there if there's absolute chaos, but...
Yeah, a lot has to happen, and it's all because he lost one game to another... To the number three team? Number four team? Yeah, you know. And he's already been to the playoff twice and been to another national title game once.
I wonder how he feels about, like... Like Notre Dame not being in a conference, like, do you think he wants to be there? Because if they were playing Pittsburgh this weekend in the ACC championship, like, maybe that would be enough to get them in there if they had a good performance. But like, they're just done; their season's over.
It seemed like last year was like a totally mutualistic relationship. Like, it was beneficial for both sides. Like, the ACC got somebody for Clemson to play, and Notre Dame got in a conference. And, like, when you're in a conference, you don't have to play, like, the brutal schedule that Notre Dame has to play every year now. And you get the conference championship game. Like, it seemed like perfect. Now, maybe, like, Notre Dame can't keep the TV money. And I'm sure that's, like, a huge deal. They can't, I mean, they're the only school that has their own, you know, major network just for them. And, like, that's a huge sticking point. But it seemed like last year was perfect for both sides. And they would have won the conference again this year, and they would win the conference championship game, and they would probably go to the playoff.
Because I know they usually play a tough schedule, but like it seems like everybody on their schedule this year was down. So they played Cincinnati, and they lost that game. And it was ugly, and they didn't play well in that game. And I don't think they're a playoff team. But like we've seen it before. He gets there and actually faces the SEC or big teams, and Notre Dame just doesn't have the same amount of horses and the same level of horses that these other teams do. So I do think him going to LSU is – sure, he gets a race, but also, like, it puts him in the seat to compete with the big boys, like, and actually win a championship.
Yeah, and if you look at, like, if you go through year by year at Notre Dame's recruiting class, one, it's always good. Like, he always gets good recruits. He always has a good class.
I want to say right now he's in the top seven again.
But it's, they have to get them from the entire country.
I looked at that today, actually. He had basically one recruit from every damn state. Like
It's insane. It's always like that.
It's wild because, yeah, like, there was one state that he had two from, I think, and everyone else was spread out.
You know, and, you know, like, there's not really any in-state talent, and it's a basketball state. Anyway, so he has to, and, like, he has to do the whole country, they recruit the whole country, and they have to be really, really smart to get in. And now he doesn't have to leave his state.
Yeah, like I was comparing that today on the radio show, like the difference between Notre Dame's recruiting and like LSU's recruiting. Like LSU can take 10 guys from Louisiana and have a basically a top five class, top 10 class. And then, like, you know, if Kelly has these national connections, then he can just pick a couple from another state, you know, pick some from other states, and he'll be set and he'll have a lot of talent. Yeah, like this, I guess I exaggerate a little bit. Like right now, Notre Dame is ranked fourth in the country in recruiting, which is kind of crazy because, again, they don't have a head coach right now and they're not going to hire one for the next couple weeks. And they would, you would think they'd like to keep this class together, although maybe these guys are coming just because it's Notre Dame. I don't know.
That's what I was going to say. That school, I would say that Notre Dame is in like rarefied air with just only a handful of other schools where like these recruits are going to stick it out because it's Notre Dame and like they're really smart and so their parents are really pushing the educate, like, you know, there's several.
They can sell both education and religion. Like,
and like prestige.
Right. Like they have it all.
Just a football.
Right. They have it all. They're Stanford and Vanderbilt academically. I mean, I don't know if they're that good, but they're, you know, they're very prestigious. They have the religious ties, and they also, like, again, have a long, rich history. But, I mean, yeah, like, three from California, two from Indiana, two from Michigan, two from New Jersey, one from Arizona, one from Georgia, one from Iowa, one from Louisiana. Just goes down the list. Ohio, one from Ohio. Like, the most they have, again, is three from California, two from Indiana, two from Michigan, two from New Jersey, and then they spread out everywhere else. So it's,
and it's like that every year. I also think that, like you said, there's no telling how it ends up with him at LSU, with anyone, anywhere. Napier could end up being the best hire out of the three. I don't see it, but I mean, hey, it could happen.
I would still be mad if I was Florida, like, again, but you go, yeah, go ahead and finish your thought. Go ahead.
But I've seen some stuff that, like, Brian Kelly, like, doesn't move the needle that much, isn't that good, like, which that just blows my mind. Like, you, like, if you just go look at his Wikipedia and, like, start when he was, like, at wherever he was at before Central Michigan. It was a D2 school or D1A school. Like, if you could say one thing about Brian Kelly that pertains to football, that is.
Yeah, that's, to me, that's the biggest issue, is he seems like an asshole. Like, he seems like a jackass, and, like, would you...
But he recruits his ass off!
No, yeah, sure. Like, no, like, he seems like an asshole from the outside looking in. It seems like most Notre Dame players like him. Like, it seems like, you know, I don't know. There was a Notre Dame, like, podcast with these players where they said, like, they like Brian Kelly, and he... They believe that he cares about them and all that stuff, and, you know, basically was like, we wish him well, but we came here for Notre Dame, basically. Like, they were school driven, but it's like, we like the coach, we still like him. But that's the only thing you can point to, is just like, he seems like an asshole, and he killed a kid, sort of, kind of.
And but if you look at, like, football wise, like, the only thing that, like, describes Brian Kelly is winner. Like, he wins. Where, like, he just wins, and he wins at a crazy high clip. So, like, if I'm an LSU fan, like, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, okay, this might not work because we just hired an Irish Catholic that was, like, born to coach Notre Dame. And he's going to be around a bunch of redneck French people that, like, speak English that nobody understands. How's he going to relate to any of this? But on the flip side, it's like, well, okay, but everywhere he's been, he has won a ton of games. He won more games than anybody at Notre Dame. Anybody! That's insane! And he just left. He just up and left. You know, like, I would be pretty excited if I'm an LSU fan. Like, I mean, you know, yeah, you gotta see how it works, but I'm thinking, you know, this guy is going to be able to sign amazing classes at LSU. Like, that to me doesn't, like, he did at Notre Dame. You know, yeah, he's an asshole. He might not fit in that much, but it's so easy at LSU.
Where do you go if you're Oklahoma?
I have no idea, because I don't think it's that great of a job.
Like Brent Venables, is that where we're going? Is that doing anything for you? I'd be so that's why I'm Oklahoma's so upset, because it's the first time they've had to realize where they, you know, kind of fall in the pecking order, and they're doubting their excellence right now.
I would say that, like, this is going to be a huge, like, a bucket of water in their face, because, I mean, look, it sucks for them. There's probably only Alabama has more, you know, tradition than Oklahoma. But, like, the Tennessee job is always dinged because of in-state talent. Okay, Tennessee's in-state talent does lack compared to Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, the Carolinas, Florida, whatever. Okay, Tennessee has way more in-state talent than Oklahoma. I mean, there's none in Oklahoma. Like, you have to go out of state to do it, and it's one thing to do that when, well, every quarterback you have makes the Heisman ceremony, and you win your conference every year, and you go to the playoffs every year, but, like, it ain't going to be that easy anymore. You're not going to do that now. Like, it's not nearly as good a job as they think it is at all, and, like, it would be so weird. I know Bob Stoops was a defensive guy. But it would be so weird if Oklahoma hired a defensive coach to me. It would be so weird.
I mean, and football was drastically different 22 years ago.
Yeah, and I know. But it would just be, so, like, nobody's hiring defensive guys anymore. I mean, Mark Stoops wins 8 or 9 games at Kentucky every year and cannot get anybody to hire him.
Do you think no one wants to hire him, or do you think he just stays at Kentucky?
I don't think anybody wants to hire him.
I mean, you might be right. I don't know. I just,
like, look at what he's done. And Florida State chose Mike Norvell, who was, you know, doing nice things at Memphis. But, like, Mark,
do you think he would have gone to Florida State?
Yeah, I think he would have gone back. Yeah, I mean, he has history there. Like, it's a really good job.
It wasn't the best job at the time, though. Kind of like you talked about with
no,
USC,
it wasn't.
Like,
it wasn't
in situation mattering. Like, that seemed like a steep rebuild. Like, I do think if Norvell gets them respectable, like, he might listen to them in 2 or 3 years. But it was like a complete, like, clusterfuck down there.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. I mean, Jimbo wrecked it, and then they probably didn't give
Taggart enough time.
But Taggart kept losing, though. I mean, it was kind of like,
sure. I mean, they followed up one big mistake or one disaster with, you know, basically another mistake. So we've been there.
You know, but no, nobody, I mean, I think, like, isn't Stoops, like, the first ever to win 9 games twice in 4 seasons at Kentucky?
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's had unprecedented success there. I just didn't know if he was waiting for a better opportunity. Like, I think he would have taken LSU. I think he would have taken Florida. Like, those schools wouldn't hire him. But, like, we agree, like, the schools that have been open are all kind of, you know, top jobs.
You know, his brother is, you know, it's obviously heavily involved with the Oklahoma football team program still. His own brother is. And, like, he's obviously not even getting a look there because he signs an extension today.
Well, I wouldn't have taken that job if I was him, honestly.
And maybe that's it. Hey, and all this could be said, maybe he's just happy. He certainly does. He certainly never appears to be happy on the sidelines. He looks like he's, like, just a couple breaths short of having a stroke. But
maybe he's just happy. I just wouldn't want to go play or coach, I guess, at the one place my brother was a legend. That just seems like you're setting yourself up for failure.
Especially
when you're saying all the things about Oklahoma and the SEC, it might not even be in that much of a better situation than Kentucky is. Like, it's hard right now if you're Oklahoma. How do you make a hire? Because, like, you don't know what your schedule is going to be. You don't know what your future is going to be. You might be in the Big 12 for the next 3 years. You might be in the SEC the very next season. And then when you get there, you don't know who you're going to be playing. What if you play Alabama every year? What if you play Alabama and Texas A&M every year, like, or Alabama and LSU? Like, you just don't know. So I think they're in a real, real bad situation right now. And if they hire Brent Venables, it seems like it's going to be a lot worse.
I think that my name for Oklahoma, that I think that, like, if I was an Oklahoma fan right now, who I would want them to hire, just like who I would personally be feeling is, and, like, people, you know, y'all might laugh at me, whatever, is Jeff Lebby. Like, I would not want Brent Venables to get it at all. I would not want to hire a defensive coach. Like, Barry Switzer and the administration loves Mike Leach. Loves Mike Leach. Barry Switzer's obsessed with Mike Leach. I would not want that. Like, the last two guys you've hired have been assistants, so they have no problem hiring assistants. Like, I would take a long, hard look at Jeff Lebby. I think he is very, very good. He continues the same type of style that you've been playing. But then again, I have no idea what kind of candidates Oklahoma can attract. They might blow my expectations away and be able to reel in somebody really good.
Before we get to some patron questions, Josh Heupel, do you think he'd be a candidate at Oklahoma?
I think that it would have to be like Kiffin with USC. Like, they would have to miss on everyone.
Do you?
And I mean, everyone.
We don't know who their list is. Like, we don't know who else is on there.
Yeah. They probably don't even know who their list is. They're probably just trying to gauge what kind of job it is, if I had to guess. I do really like the Washington hire. I do really like the guy Washington hired. That guy at Fresno State, I loved his offense this year. They were so much fun to watch on offense. I think that was a really good hire.
And he was, you know, he was a stud at the lower level as well. So, I mean, he looks like he's got it. Yeah, I just wonder how low Heupel is on their list, because does he not have a better resume, resume than Lebby? I mean, when you just look at actually being a head coach, now, you know, you say that they don't have a problem hiring an assistant, but offensive guy with head coaching experience, won a national title there, all those things. I am curious if he gets a look. How mad do you have to be right now if you're Lane Kiffin and all these jobs are open and you can't get a call?
Yeah, he's much more nuclear than I thought he was. I honestly, like, I thought that, like, time would, like, heal all things. Like, it's been 12 years since he was at UT.
I mean, I guess we can't be too surprised whenever you actually see who both LSU and USC hired. I mean, obviously he's not going back to USC, but when you actually see who LSU hired, you can't be like, well, why didn't you call Kiffin? Maybe he gets the...
He obviously, like, but, like, you know, my doomsday scenario, like, I mean, LSU could have hired, you know, God himself, and that wouldn't, like, my doomsday scenario was Lane Kiffin at Florida. And they never even looked at him. Is Miami not going to fire their coach?
I listened to some Miami podcast, and they were talking about basically the plan is just for Mario Cristobal, and if they don't get him, they might just roll with Diaz.
So they're going to try to get
Cristobal.
Yeah, that's beforehand.
That's what they think. So is basically they're going to try and make it like a Texas situation where they fire Diaz and they have Cristobal ready. Now maybe they fire him anyways because they don't even have an ID right now.
Yeah.
Miami doesn't have an AD, and they're trying to say that, like, they're going to let the AD make the decision, but, like, they don't have an AD. So they're kind of fucked right now, too. So I wouldn't be surprised, especially after, like, the game this weekend, all the players were still trying to ride for Diaz on Twitter.
Yeah. He seems like a cool dude to play for. Manny Diaz seems pretty cool. I think he seems pretty cool. I think he sucks, and I think that Miami should fire him. And, you know, it would make sense. Like, Cristobal seems like it would be a home run or whatever. But
other than that, he's pretty cool.
You know, like, I can see players loving him. I mean, I just forgot that, like, you know, it just seemed like for sure he was going to get fired. And now his OC's left. And, you know, that doesn't seem to be much hope for Miami football with Manny Diaz. But, you know, hey, I guess watching Florida hire Billy Napier might have been really humbling to them. And so they're like, yeah, if we can't get Cristobal, we'll just ride it out.
We all need insurance, whether that be car insurance, auto insurance, renter's insurance, life insurance. You need it. You have to have insurance. You also need an insurance agent that you can trust. I got one of those. His name is John Runyon. He works with Farm Bureau Insurance in Maryville. I've known John for a long time. He's a dear friend. He takes care of me, and he can take care of you. And Farm Bureau is a 10-time in a row winner of the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction in the Southeast region. And Farm Bureau is the number one life insurance company in the state of Tennessee. Like I said, John will take care of you like he takes care of me. He's quick to respond. He'll give you a rate. He won't try to sell you stuff you don't need. Call him at 865-982-2559. That's 865-982-2559. John Runyon, Farm Bureau in Maryville. Tell him Reed's Ranch sent you. All right, let's move to some patron questions. Patreon.com/Reed's Ranch. What do you got for us, Seth?
Brother Techball asks, when does Vanderbilt drop SEC football, if ever?
It does seem strange that they do what they do, but I guess, like, they just get so much money from it that is that it? Like, they get a paycheck and then they help raise, like, an overall, like, academic thing? Does the SEC benefit from having them in academically, I would assume?
I would think the SEC does benefit from having one just, like, school that is purely academic. And then they obviously get a ton of money. And then, you know, they have problems with sports, like, you know, I mean, they don't have a softball team. So, you know, there are some sports that, like, they don't have now due to Title IX issues. And then if you dropped SEC football, you'd have to drop a girls' sport, which that would be...
You have to drop like four girl sports.
But is it okay? So it's not a 1-to-1 ratio.
It's all about scholarships.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Is that another problem with baseball? Like you, that's why like Tennessee can't give out full scholarships for baseball. It's not. Yeah, it's not a one sport for one. Otherwise, you'd have like basically every synchronized swimming and dancing for girls at SEC schools. But it's just about you have to have the same amount of scholarships.
So like that seems like it would be really like bad publicity wise.
Yeah, that's fair.
To have to cancel four girl sports when you just let like this girl pretend to be a football kicker last year and everyone had to just go along with it. Like we all had to pretend that it was legit. Like I remember that dumb dork Ohio State fan, college football writer who was apoplectic during the Ohio State Michigan game last weekend, whatever his name is, I can't remember. Like he was like talking about how like legit her kickoff was and all. I'm just like
Albert Breer.
And you have no Wasserman. It's something like that. And he was,
is that Ari Wasserman?
He was like Apple. Yeah, that dude. He's like a Spencer Hall, like one of those SB Nation, Stephen Godfrey.
Look at her kick. She properly pinned him on the sideline. And they get to start the ball at the 35 without having to do anything. But wow, there was no return.
It's just like, man, how emasculating is this to have to pretend? So I think it would be a bad look for Vandy, but I'm going to guess that what does it is the amount of money they get.
Yeah, makes sense.
Brother Jake would like to know when he's getting his t-shirt.
Yeah, let's move on. I gotta get t-shirts out to people. I gotta get t-shirts ordered. Right now is bad. Got a lot of shit I gotta do. I've been pretty lazy the last couple months. No one cares about depression. They just want their shirts. It's fine. Anyways, let's move on.
Brother AJ, what is the best continent and why?
Okay. I guess I've never really thought of this.
I feel like every time I look at a map of Africa, I discover a country I've never heard of.
Every time I think of the maps in Africa, I just think about that revelation that like the countries are so much bigger than they look on the map because they're not to scale. That's all I think about when I think of Africa, is just how gigantic some of those places have to be.
You know, like there's that landlocked country, Lesotho, that's like within South Africa that like has a monarchy. Like they still are ruled by a king and he has like 60 wives. You know, there's parts of the jungle in Congo that have never been, that they believe has never been seen by
humans that have lived in
human eyes. Yeah, like it's still untouched by humans.
Do they think there are treasures in there by chance?
I think they have like a version of Bigfoot that they believe lives in there.
Okay. Is that why they don't go in? Or I'd like to see.
I think it's just so dense and like so like rural and away from everything.
Probably snakes in there too.
Yeah.
I'm sure people have tried to get in there.
Yeah, they have. But it's just like so big, they believe that like no human's ever been in there. So I think that one's pretty cool.
Okay.
I did learn that the country of China, which is not a continent, it's just a country, obviously, but there is only one time zone in all of China. And look at a map and look at how big China is. There is one time zone in that entire country. Russia, off the top of my head, I believe Russia has 9 time zones. China has one. It's a artifact of communism when they try to make everything uniform and under one system. One time zone for that massive, massive country. One time zone.
Have we got an update on that tennis player, by the way?
I thought she had issued a statement that like she was fine or whatever, but it was very vague and left people with more questions than answers.
Like it seemed very forced and like their videos seem edited. So I was wondering if we had an update on that.
I have not seen one.
Interesting. Let's move on.
Brother Tanner, a.k.a. T-Fool, would you rather live in New York City or Los Angeles?
I don't know how you would vote for... I don't know how you vote for New York City. Other than if you just like really liked the Eastern Time Zone, but why would you really like the Eastern Time Zone?
I'm going to go with L.A.
I mean, traffic's going to be shitty either place, obviously.
Yeah.
It's going to be expensive either place. I mean, I guess the politics of California.
But like Orange County is Republican.
Okay. But the whole state, I mean, like with the mandates and lockdowns, I guess that could have deterred you. But
Yeah, that would suck. But I mean, New York State's not like a vast improvement.
Yeah, especially the city. So
yeah, L.A., the weather, the beach. You know, the chance to go see. You know.
The weather's so nice.
The lake show. Yeah. The L.A. Galaxy.
God, I know. The Galaxy. Go watch Justin Herbert get his ass beat.
Yep. Go point at them. Go laugh and point at them for firing Anthony Lynn.
They all blamed Anthony Lynn for all those troubles. Guess what, everybody? The Chargers ain't got Anthony Lynn anymore, and the problems are still the same.
That's true. It's true.
They tried to blame Brother Anthony for all of them, and guess what? They still suck. And yeah, sure, Anthony Lynn has had a rough go of it in Detroit, but he's not got any talent on that offense, Seth. He's not got any offense.
They took play calling duties away from him, didn't they?
Did they? Like, it's not his.
Yeah, I think so. I thought that's what they said on Thanksgiving. I watched very little of that game, but I believe they said they took play calling duties away from him.
Well, apparently you were alone in that because 26 million people watched that slop fest for some reason. 26 million people watched Lions Bears.
I guess for so many people, it's just like the thing you do.
Yep. 26 million people sat down and watched that shit.
Has there ever been a time, and I don't ever remember one, and this might be a dumb question because I might just not have that deep of a memory concerning Lions games on Thanksgiving. Has there ever been a time when the Lions game was not the early game on Thanksgiving?
I don't know if that's a part of tradition or not, but it feels like it's the early one every time.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because like I never remember the Cowboys not being the second.
Cowboys
game.
Are always the second. Well, because until 2006, that was the tradition. They were the two teams that played, there wasn't a night game. So I'm 90.
Yeah, there was no
night
game.
I'm 90% sure that that's kind of how it always shakes out.
That's what I figured. I can never remember a time where the Lions were playing when it was dark outside. So yeah, brother West Tennessee Ben. Question for both. If you were the athletic director at LSU, did you make the right hire with Brian Kelly? Should you have tried for someone else?
Well, you know,
or let Coach O?
The reports say that they tried really hard for Lincoln Riley and thought they were getting him. So I don't know if I buy that or if Brian Kelly is just the best plan B ever, but no, he would not have been my top choice.
Yeah, I can never remember the guy's name. He writes for Sports Illustrated now. Ross Dellinger. He writes for SI now. He covered LSU before he got the national gig. He mentioned in his piece on Sunday or Saturday night one, it was before they had hired Brian Kelly, but he said that the only time he had ever, that he said like, first of all the rumors about Lincoln Riley weren't true, but that there were like big time boosters at LSU that thought they were getting him. And the only time he had ever seen that kind of like, furor and talk and hype around a coach was in 2015 when they made the move to hire Jimbo and fire Miles, but reneged at the last second and decided to keep Miles. So like people did think, like prominent people thought it was going to happen. Obviously, like Riley, I don't think was going to take another job in the SEC, period. Like, I don't think he wanted anything to do with the SEC.
I mean, maybe Brian Kelly was the best they could get then. I mean, like, you'd rather have Brian Kelly than James Franklin, right? Or no?
Yeah, for sure. I would rather have Brian Kelly than Billy Napier.
You weren't getting Kirby. You weren't getting Saban. Could they have maybe pried Dabo away? Probably not, right?
No, I think Dabo only leaves for Alabama.
So, I mean, I guess maybe he was the best they could do.
The one I wondered about, which this, like, so... I don't keep up with Jacksonville Jaguars football, but I know like a month and a half ago, it was just assumed Urban Meyer was getting fired at the end of this year in Jacksonville. I don't know if that's still the case. And I don't know that you want to wait because signing day is in like 10 days or whatever. I wondered about Urban. Like, is he still going to get fired in Jacksonville? And do you just wait it out for Urban?
His people reiterated today, or at least like through like a statement or question or something, basically that he has no desire to be back in college.
Okay.
But, I mean, we'll see if Notre Dame puts that to the test. Because, I mean, he's called Notre Dame his dream school multiple times. So, I mean, like, they'll put him more to a test than LSU would, I would assume.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, like...
Yeah, Urban's like, the only difference maker they could have went and hired that would have been better than Kelly, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, at the end of the day, like... The issues with Brian Kelly are like fit and personality, and those do matter.
Does this make you angrier? Go ahead, sorry.
you could not have hired a better winner than Brian Kelly. Like, all he does is win. That's it. Period. Everywhere he's at, he just wins.
No matter what.
I don't know how you could really have done better once, like, you could not have gotten Lincoln Riley, and I think Brian Kelly is way better than Jimbo.
He had money on his mind.
I mean, Jimbo went 8-4 again. Like, when you compare, like, his, like, first 4 years to Kevin Sumlin's, they're, like, identical. Now, Jimbo didn't have Johnny Manziel and Mike Evans, but...
I mean, he should by now.
Jimbo ain't winning enough to justify that salary.
Well, I mean, that's what I was going to ask. Like, is he not? Because it seems like $7.5 million is the going rate now, buddy. Like, that's an average coach right there, or a good coach.
I thought he was making more than that. Is he making $7.5 million?
I guess he might have gotten I guess he did get an extension before the year. So I guess, was he up to $9 million now? But again, that's pretty much the rate now. Mel Tucker got $9 million.
Yeah. He's making $9 million per.
Okay. Mel Tucker got that. So it seems like every coach, again, we knew these things were going to balloon. I didn't realize how fast it was going to be and how, like, crazy this was going to get with all this money. Because it seems like college football, especially the power boosters, have just been like, you know what? Let's quit pretending this isn't professional football. We need to have the best coaches. We need to spend the most money. Let's do it. And it does kind of hurt last year, like, you know, spending $4 million.
Yeah, because, like, all you had to do, it does, because, like,
if you'd have spent $9 million last year, you could have gotten somebody big.
Because once you got James Franklin to the table last year, like, you got James Franklin to sit down with you. He sat down and listened. He's always liked the UT job. Like, would he have left? I don't know, but he was at the table.
I screamed about it.
And willing to listen.
All last year. Just pay the money.
Offer more money than anybody thinks is necessary. Who cares?
And now look how quickly, Seth. Look how quickly now that no one is scoffing at $9 million. Again, I don't want to single out Mel Tucker. But Mel Tucker has had one good season at Michigan State. He did not win his division. They are not going to a Power 6 bowl, I don't think. Like... And no one cares that he got $9 million. Everyone's like, yeah, that's the price of doing business. James Franklin, you know, got his $9 million. Mark Stoops, who knows how high his salary is going to be now? He got another extension. What do we know how much money he's going to make?
No, I didn't see a number.
I'm sure he's going to get it close to $6 million at least, though. Or seven.
Yeah. So he was scheduled to make 5.2 this year. His salary this year was 5.25.
I would imagine he's going to be in the $6 million range. And
I would think
Tennessee could have been ahead of the curve, and no one would have blinked an eye just, you know, less than a year later. Now, I would imagine they're going to give Heupel a raise. I would be shocked, Seth, if he wasn't in the $5 million club at the beginning of next season.
Yeah.
I think he'll be around $5.5 million, honestly. Just because, I mean, for some of it, you can't, like let Liberty pay Hugh Freeze more than you pay Josh Heupel. That seems dumb.
I would go ahead and I would, like, jack Tim Banks up big time.
Well, are you worried about Tim Banks? Because now Penn State's defensive coordinator is gone, and, of course, Tim Banks is from Penn State.
Yeah, and Duke might look at him.
Are you worried that, I mean, if he's getting a head coaching job, I would imagine that would probably behoove him to take it, but maybe not Duke, I don't know.
In the long run, I mean, it would behoove UT, because, you know, other assistants say, hey, he just went here for 1 year. You look at where he went, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, he turned UT's dog shit defense into something serviceable. The Penn State thing is, like, you know, does he leave to go back where he can have, like, actual play calling duties again? I do think Tennessee ended up getting pretty lucky that dude from Ohio State turned us down. What was that guy's name? James Washington or whatever?
Their defense is dog shit.
Yeah, their defense is terrible. I don't know who's been calling plays since Kerry Coombs got demoted or whatever, but, like, I think Tennessee got lucky there that he turned us down. Tim Banks might go back or whatever, but I would go ahead and jack him up to, like, $2 million, too. I don't give a shit how much they make. Who cares?
Well, I mean, I guess, again, especially whenever we're just acknowledging, like, the funny money is, it's here. Like, these schools are going to be making so much money with the new SEC deal. Across the country, these schools are going to be making so much more money when they expand the playoffs to 12 teams. Like, who gives a shit? Now the players can get paid, so they don't have to worry about, like, keeping it somewhat respectable. Just go out and get your money. It's free market.
And, like, if UT is not going to go out and hire someone that requires $9 million, then they better, like, I would give Tim Banks $2 million, and I would make sure that Rodney Garner retires in Knoxville. I would make sure that Rodney Garner does not ever go back to his alma mater and never goes back to Georgia. I would make sure that he retires in Orange. And anybody else that you want to, I mean, hell, offensive line coach seems pretty damn good. Bump him up. Like, if you're not going to hire somebody that is going to require $9 million to be your head coach, then I would make sure that your assistants that you think are, like, badasses or are very good.
They feel respected and have a bunch of money, and it's not worth the hassle for them. If I'm Tim Banks, like, if Penn State does come calling, I'd have to wonder, like, what's a better route to being a good Power 5 head coach, because it might be hard to play defense here at Tennessee. But he done really good in year one, and you know, maybe Tennessee's going to be a hype team coming in the offseason. There might be a lot of eyes on Tennessee after this, especially if they win a bowl game against somebody like Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I knew the funny money was coming, didn't realize it was going to be in, you know, basically 10 months later. But yeah, now every coach is basically going to be making $7 million, and any good coach is going to be making $8 million. We had the chance to be the first, and of course we did not do that, but shout out to Josh Heupel. Hopefully we get 8 wins this year. Give me one more question. Because I'm hungry and we're nearing an hour.
We've already answered that question before. Brother Smitty, what are y'all's guilty pleasure songs / artists?
I mean, I'm not guilty about it, but I love Miley.
Okay.
Party in the USA is a bop. Is that a guilty pleasure song? That's just a bop. I did kind of like that Olivia Rodrigo girl, or Rodriguez girl, excuse me. Came out this year. She had some good songs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I'm going to go with Brad Paisley. I can't help but love Brad Paisley songs. I like Brad Paisley a lot. I just like him, period. I really like his voice, and like, I can't help but like Brad Paisley songs.
What's the guilty song?
I'm Going to Miss Her is like...
Yeah, yeah.
An all-timer.
Yeah, that's an all-time guilty song. I would probably put Pitbull in there, too. I unironically like Pitbull.
Pitbull, it seems like a cool-ass dude.
Yeah, his music makes me happy.
Yeah. And, like, at the end of the day, you know, Al Washington was that okay. His name, not James Washington.
Either way.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, Pitbull is a positive influence on people. He loves America.
Dale.
He hates communists.
Yep.
He's got a very well-shaped head.
He does. He does make bald look beautiful.
He does. And if you're going to go bald, it has to be like a big fear that your head is going to be misshapen. And, you know, Pitbull, he doesn't have to deal with that. He has just a, it's a very round, he looks like an egg. It looks like an egg. He seems like a happy person. He's made his mark upon American culture. So we stand Pitbull.
Yep, we are a Pitbull podcast. Some people try to hate, but not us. He is my one of my guilty pleasures. I don't feel guilty about the stuff I like, though, usually. If I like it, it's good enough for me.
That's all that matters.
Only thing I feel guilty about is telling myself every day I'm going to quit drinking as much soda and then still finding my way back to the fridge to pour 12-ounce Coke into a glass and drink it before going back and probably... an hour later and getting another one. That's the only thing I usually feel guilty about. But I've been drinking a lot of water, but I'm also drinking the soda. I started drinking more water to quit drinking the soda, but now I'm just drinking a lot and having to go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom 7 times yesterday in like a 2-hour trivia period. Like basically like the right before and right after and right when I got home. I went to the bathroom 7 times in 2 hours. That's too much. That's too much. Do you think that means there's something wrong with my prostate?
I mean,
my father died of prostate cancer. Do you think I need to go get checked out if I have to go to the bathroom that often?
I mean, if it's bothering you, then I would go get it checked out.
I mean, it's not bothering me. I just use the bathroom a lot. I don't know if that seems normal.
I mean, like my mom is a type 2 diabetic, and her grandfather was. So they told me that I'm going to get it because they said it was likely going to swap sexes in the generation.
Ouch.
So
big
like,
win for your sister.
I've gone and... Yeah, and so like my mom didn't get it until she was like 55. I mean, like, till she was 50, but, like, I started and going getting checked for diabetes.
Why do you have to make this about you?
I'm asking about me.
Well, I'm just giving. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're worried about it, then go get checked.
It's about you. It's not all about you.
I mean, go get that prostate checked, buddy. You might like it. That's all I'm saying. You might like it. And if you do, there's nothing wrong with that.
Some say that's where the male G spot is.
Some do.
I love you. Have a good night.
I love you. See too, ya. Buddy. Later.
Yeah. Let's go. Fun nigga built like a bitch in a skittle. If he not blood, then we leaving him crippled. She suck on my dick, then I nut on her nipple. This a white bitch looking like Miss Frizzle. This a white bitch from Malcolm in the Middle. Walk around, I don't give a fuck about niggas. I don't give a fuck about bitches. Put him in the bag, name him down in the river. That's my bro, he a killer. Coming out of jungle with gorillas. This a black master, nigga. Give me everything, this is stick up. Stick him, kill him. Do what you want, I'ma blitz him. Fall up, little bitch, I really don't care. Put your hands up in the grouts in the air. This is my bitch and I don't have to share. She suck on my dick and I'm pulling her hair. This a bitch, hot little nigga, not fair. Brother wanna step, but he on a wheelchair. But nigga talking, but don't want no smoke. Why do these bitches want dick in their throat? Why do these bitches want niggas they broke? Why do them niggas want bitches they hoes? Fuck a hoe, then I go. Guns coming out like Call of Duty Ghost. She riding my dick like it's SK mode. Ride a hoe, why don't let's find death note? All of my niggas cut thot. I'ma go on a boat in a wreck, go. One, something's got to give. Two, something's got to give. Three, something's got to give. Spray down, body down with the AK. Bitch got a blade to line the cocaine. Villain coming out, kicking like Bruce Wayne. Fuck whoever them niggas got to say. I'ma ball hard even in my grave. I won't let nobody fuck up my day. I won't let a girl have my last name. I'ma do everything in my way. Really got top 4K display. Fun nigga built like a bitch in a skittle. If he not blood, then we leaving him crippled. She suck on my dick, then I nut on her nipple. This a white bitch looking like Miss Frizzle. This a white bitch from Malcolm in the Middle. Walk around, I don't give a fuck about niggas. I don't give a fuck about bitches. Put him in the bag, name him down in the river. Fuck nigga built like a bitch in a skittle. If he not blood, then we leaving him crippled. She suck on my dick, then I nut on her nipple. This a white bitch looking like Miss Frizzle. This a white bitch from Malcolm in the Middle. Walk around, I don't give a fuck about niggas. I don't give a fuck about bitches. Put him in the bag, name him down in the river.